So it's 2 Kings chapter 4, starting at verse 1. The wife of a man from the company of the prophets called out to Elijah, "Your servant, my husband, is dead. You know that he revered the Lord, but now his creditor is coming to take my 2 boys as his slaves." Elijah replied to her, "How can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in the house?" "Your servant has nothing there at all," she said, "except a small jar of olive oil." Elijah said, "Go round and ask all your neighbours for empty jars. Don't ask just a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars. As each is filled, put it to one side." She left him and shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another one." But he replied, "There is not a jar left." Then the oil stopped flowing. She went and told the man of God, and he said, "Go sell the oil and pay your debts. You and your sons can live on what is left."
I hope you've all brought your olive oil jars. I hope they're empty. And we'll see how much olive oil we can get, okay? Well, you know, isn't it amazing how the years tick over? So I was here in 2023 last, and it's 2024. And I'm thinking, how did that happen? They just go, don't they? They carry on moving. You can't slow. Sometimes I wish I could just slow everything down. Have you ever wished that? You know, that you just want to actually enjoy the moment, just be in the moment, just be present. But everything moves, doesn't it, so fast, and I can't slow it down. But anyway, if it's okay, I'd like, me and Ursula would like to wish you all a very happy new year. But when we say that, it's already a very interesting year, isn't it? Because it's a very unsettled year, isn't it? And if we listen to the news, I'm wondering what kind of year 2024 is actually going to be. A year of elections? A year where war continues? The unrest in Israel and the Gaza Strip, the unrest and the warfare in the Ukraine, and so many parts of the world are in turmoil, aren't they? And this is where we are right now. This is 2024. So it's an unsettling time. Some people, as we've heard this morning from Di, are facing critical healthcare situations or recovering from health situations. And as we look around, you know, we started the year, and I don't know about you, but 2 of my brothers got COVID, and, you know, it interrupted the Christmas celebrations, and different ones are coughing and spluttering, and there's all sorts of things going on, aren't there? All sorts of things are happening. It's okay, I don't know if you can carry on. Okay, don't worry about it. It's okay. I was in hospital yesterday, and the staff were all coughing as well. So I thought, there we go. But that's the world, and that's 2024. That's what it's looking like. That's the landscape that we can see. But you know, the incredible thing is that God doesn't change. He's still faithful. And he's still talking to us. He's still on the journey with us through his Holy Spirit. And the great thing about it is his word is living. Now, I don't know if you make New Year's resolutions. Does anybody make New Year's resolutions now? You can be brave or you can... No, nobody made a New Year's resolution. Nobody's joined the gym. Nobody's making sausage rolls or extra sausage rolls. No, there's no New Year's resolution. That's very, very good, because if you've got life sorted and you've got everything in it that's okay and everything's going away, then that's great. Nothing needs to change, does it? And I just wanted to say that I wanted to encourage you to make sure that you read God's word. 2024, read it. Read it, soak it in. Try and take time of it, because God's word is living and it's powerful. And I love it when I'm looking to preach or just reading. I love the way that God speaks to me through the words. And this chapter in 2 Kings chapter 4 is an incredible one. It's an incredible one. And later on, you're allowed to go home and read the rest of the chapter. Because it's incredible. It's a really powerful story. And it's a story about Elijah's interrupting and getting involved in various situations and various miracles and stuff happening. It's an exciting chapter. It really is. So go home, give yourself... So, Father, we thank you for your goodness to us here this morning. We thank you for your word. And, Father, as this widow could give testimony of, nobody could take away this miracle from her. She would have that for the rest of her life, that encouragement that in her need you met her. And, Father, we realize that you're an incredible God. You're a God who loves to draw near to his children. And we just pray now that if any of us here need you right now in particular ways, Father, that you would draw near to us now, that you would just help us where we are. And Father, if there are anybody here that doesn't know you, then I pray that you would just draw them to yourself this morning. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. The treat, sit down, make a cup of coffee, and read the rest of the chapter. Because God's word wants to speak to you and to me this morning. And that's an incredible thing. So the last time I was here, we were looking at Elijah. Remember Elijah? Man of God, prophet. And so a prophet is someone who's given news or given words to say from God, and he goes out and he goes into situations and God puts him like the Mission Impossible. Various situations, sometimes the word of God that he's particularly saying to a king or somebody or a group of people is not very well received. Sometimes it's something that people wouldn't want to know and to receive. But this is the job of a prophet. And Elisha has taken the mantle over from Elijah, and he is carrying on being God's prophet, God's person for the time, for the moment. While he is living, God is speaking through him. Thank you. I told them that I would move the slides on, or if I didn't, give them a hint that they would do it anyway. So they're doing it anyway. First thing I said, did you see the roads? Did you see the road before? Okay, go back to the road. Okay, so we're all on a road, yes? We're all on a pathway. And we're all going along this journey. Your journey is different to someone over here, and every journey is individual, but we're all on this road called life. And we're somewhere on it. We're in different seasons of life, aren't we? Some of us are younger, some of us are older, some of us are even older, and some of us are kind of in the middle. And we keep saying we've been in the middle, but we've been in the middle for a long while. So you know where you are on this journey of life. We're on the journey where we've got grandchildren interrupting our day and interrupting our lives. And one of the great things about grandchildren is they can be very honest. And we had two of our grandchildren staying with us for probably about 3 months last year. And our son and daughter brought them up to try to be quite resilient. That's one of the things that my son likes saying. Resilient children, you know, so if things don't work out at school, get on with it anyway, that kind of thing. So anyway, I was just having a chat with Samaya, and Samaya and I think I was trying to give her a bit of Grant's advice or telling her that something she was doing needed to change. And she looked at me and she said, get over it, sweetheart. I blame my son, because that's the thing. So if she comes home from school or in a situation that she's in and things haven't gone too well, they kind of stroke her and say, get on with it. You know, and that's their answer to a lot of things. Now that's fine, but I was caught unawares when she said that to me, and I have to confess I didn't know what to say next. So I'm learning. But life is a great thing, isn't it? Life is what God has given to us. And we're going to read a fantastic account of an ordinary person, but a very sad situation. And Elijah is going to get involved, and we're going to see what happens. But you see, the great thing about it is that in our lives, when we've asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come into our lives as our personal Saviour and friend, we are doing life with Him. And that's an incredible thing. So in the situations that you're facing right now, and I don't know what's in your lives at the moment. I don't know if you're having good days, bad days, whether work's okay, work's a struggle. Maybe you've got health situations. Maybe you're just struggling generally and you're finding life is tough. Whatever the situation, God wants to meet you where you are. We were in Barry Edmonds Hospital yesterday. And Ursula's dad has been taken into hospital. And just in the space of probably about 2 months, he's 88, but he's been a very fit 88. And all of a sudden, he is now lying on a bed and he can't walk and he has to have assistance to eat and to drink. And you know, you never know, do we? We don't know what lies ahead. And all of a sudden, you know, life can go in certain directions and certain things are happening. When we saw him last Saturday, he was slurring his words and we couldn't really understand what he was saying. And yet yesterday, we could understand a few of the words. He'd got brain swelling and they were getting the swelling under control. And as the swelling is coming under control, he's more lucid and able to take in things. But you know what? Before we left him, said to Ursula, so I'm just going to pray with him before we go. Now, whenever we go to see Dad, we usually end up having a prayer together, or he would pray. And I thought, okay, we'll just do that, because it's in a ward and everything's busy in hospital. Everything's going around, isn't it? There's not much time. I think he was enjoying sort of watching everything going on. But you know, we said to him just as well, and said, shall we just pray before we go? And bearing in mind, his words were sort of coming and going, and he was trying to take an interest. And he says, what now? And he says, okay. And I thought I was going to pray. But you know what? He then prayed. And, you know, bearing in mind, he hadn't been having a conversation, he would say odd words, but he suddenly started to pray. And you know, I was amazed, because you never know what's going on. You never know what God is doing in that moment, in that situation. And I didn't understand all the words, but he was drawing near to God and praying. And he was praying and saying things like, well, God, never expected to be in this situation. Didn't expect to be here where I can't even feed myself. And he said, you know, somebody's having to feed me. Never saw that one coming, kind of thing. And I just listened to some of the words, and he did repeat himself, but it was just lovely, just for that moment, to hear him tuning in and drawing close to God. And our Heavenly Father, when we do that, do you know what the Word of God says? That He will draw near to us. And that's precious, isn't it? Have you experienced a time like that where you just needed the presence of God? You just needed to know that He was there? You just needed that moment? And that was a precious thing. This widow was in a desperate, she was in a desperate situation. Life was hard. So much had been going on around the situation, the prophets of old had been under attack. Various things had been happening under Elijah's watch, and they were carrying on, and there was unrest all around. And in the midst of this situation, Elijah is walking around, But this is going on. The wife of a man from the company of the prophets. Okay, I was looking at that, I was thinking, what does that actually mean? And a lot of the commentaries say that would mean the prophets that were in training. So there was a training group of prophets going on in the midst of all that was going on. Elisha was the man of God at the moment. He was kind of like the leader. He was God's person. But there was also a training group of prophets going on, and there were prophets going on and being involved. But it says, the wife of the man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, your servant, Elisha, my husband, is dead. And you know that he revered the Lord, but now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slave. Can you imagine? Her heart must have been broken. Her heart is desperate situation. You know, her husband is dead. He couldn't provide in the same way any longer. And the creditor who she would have owed money to was going to take the children as payment to be slaves. And that was kind of how, there were various laws and various things, but this was a very bad outcome. The spirit of the law was not like this, but this was how that creditor was interpreting the law in her situation. And how cruel that was. This was her situation. And in her desperation, she spoke to Elisha. And you know what I want you to understand? That this is Old Testament. Okay, so the Old Testament is different to where we are now. Because in the Old Testament, you had priests and prophets. In the New Testament, when the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary, he made a sacrifice. He laid down his life so that there had to be no more offerings or sacrifices, no more going to the priests. The temple, the curtain of the temple was rent so that we could go in to the holiest of holies. We could approach God. We can approach God because of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So today, we can go and we can pray directly to God because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. We don't have to go via the priesthood. We don't have to sacrifice because it's all been done. The price for our sins has been paid. We can go and talk to Heavenly Father. But in these days, they would speak to the prophets, and the prophet would speak for God. So this was the day that she was in. So she came to the prophet Elisha, and she just poured out her heart to him. God's person at God's time. I love that. You see, when we have the situation, Elijah was a prophet. He took Elijah's mantle, and he was God's man for these very moments, for the big stuff, but also in the ordinary things of life. The stuff that's going on in your life, the stuff that's going on with my life, God is interested in all of that. And in this few verses, we're going to look at Elijah's leadership skills. We're going to look at his good practice, and we're going to see if there's anything there that we can learn, that we can take on board. So if we go over to the next slide, I want us to see these things. And I want you to take them to yourself and think about, how do I come across? You say, well, I'm not a leader, but you're still a person and you're still doing stuff for God. And I want us to take note of these things, apply them to us. So Elisha was approachable. You see that? She didn't hesitate, didn't she? She went to the man of God, to the prophet, and she cried out to him. She cried out to him. She wasn't concerned about facing him. She wasn't concerned about pouring her heart out to him. Yet this was Elisha. This was the man of God. He took over Elijah's mantle. He could put the cloak down and the waters would part. He had the Spirit of God living within him. Elisha was sensitive to the distress of this widow. Elisha was clear with his questions, and we'll look at that in a minute, and spoke with clarity. Elisha was clear with his action points, and we'll see that in a few moments. Am I approachable? Do you know what I mean? Are you approachable? Can somebody come up and talk to you? It's a thing, isn't it? Yeah. Sometimes, you know, my dad was, he kind of looked stern. You know, those people that look stern? You know, and my friends used to say to me, oh, you know, they were almost a little bit fearful of my dad. And I used to think, what are you talking about? My dad's a cuddly teddy bear kind of guy. You know, but they didn't see that. They saw a stern sort of authority figure, and they were a little bit wary of him. I wonder, how do people see you and me? Are you approachable? Are you ready to listen if somebody wants to tell you something? Are you going to be present? Are you going to pay attention? Are you going to listen to them? We live in a world, don't we, where everybody seems to be busy. I go down the road sometimes in the morning, and I'm not knocking anybody. If you jog with your headphones in, that's fine. But beware if anybody knocks into you or somebody comes up and pats you on the shoulder. But they're not present, are they? You can't always be present. And sometimes I go down and I say, good morning. I get nothing. And then I just realise that they've got their butts in their ears, and I realise they can't hear me. And I say, fine, but I want to ask you, are you listening? Are you available? Are you approachable for people to tune into? If your daughter or your children or your neighbour is going to be there, are they going to be listening to you? Are you going to be listening to them? Before Christmas, Dan had two falls in the night, and Sheila had to go to the neighbours at 3 o'clock in the morning and get them up to go and help them. And they were very willing. They made no problem. And they made sure that they realised, that she realised, it's fine. If you need help, you can call on me. Do I do that? Do you think you can help me? I'll give you a number. You know, it's, what are you going to do when life interrupts your day? When something interrupts your day, what are you going to do? How are you going to turn around? Elisha was a very important person, no doubt, got lots of things on his mind, and God was using him in all sorts of ways, and having a band of prophets and teaching them and growing them and all the rest of it. Lots of things to do. Let's see what happens. The woman speaks to him, and Elisha replied to her, so he tuned into her straight away. He listens, and he says this, how can I help you? Fantastic! Isn't that the question that you want to hear? Isn't that the question you want to hear? Question one, how can I help you? That's fantastic, isn't it? You know, if something happens and you go to the person you pour your heart out to them and they turn around and say, how can I help you? You say, results. Thank you very much. This is what I want you to do. Fantastic, isn't it? What are you going to say? Do you want to help? Do you want to get involved? Do you want to go on the other side of the road? What do you want to do? It's a humbling thing, isn't it? But you have, God has placed you in a situation where you can help. You have a choice. You have a choice. And that's the thing, isn't it? Life will open doors and situations will happen. And it's your choice whether what happens next. How can I help you? Fantastic. Thank you, Elisha. Second question. Elisha replied, how can I help you? Be more direct now. Don't know what you'd make of this one. Tell me, what do you have in your hands? Excuse me? Excuse me, Elijah, that's a bit personal. I'm not sure I want to answer that. I've got 5 TVs, 2 microwaves. It's a bit of a direct question, isn't it? Bit of a direct question. And Elijah is not beating around the bush. I don't sense there's any harshness in it. But he's saying in a very practical way, what have you got? You know, what have you got? Then we go on. your servant has nothing. She did. She answered the bell. I want you to notice that. You see, you can't hide anything from God. Don't think that you can hide anything from God. When you're going through a difficulty or a problem, you don't mind hiding anything from God. If you're feeling rubbish, God wants to know you're feeling rubbish. If you're struggling with the answer to a problem that's weighing heavily on you, tell God that you're struggling with it. There's no point in hiding anything. Elijah is asking a very direct question. Your servant has nothing there at all, she said, except a small jar of olive oil. Well, that's minimalist, isn't it? My goodness. Just a small jar of olive oil. But you see, olive oil in that time and still today had many, many uses. It was good currency. It was good. It had lots of uses. It could help with lighting. It could help with food preparation. All sorts of things. Olive oil was good currency. And it's important. So, a small jar of olive oil. Never underestimate what you have. You see, God has made us all unique, hasn't he? We're all unique. You know, sometimes people say, hey, oh, I can't do anything. I can't make a difference. I can't help that person. I can't do this. And it's almost like we want to say, pull away, isn't it? Where God says, what are you holding? What have you got? What's your talent? I've gifted you. I've given you the talent of painting. I've given you the talent of listening. I've given you the talent of praying, interceding on that person's behalf. So when that person's pouring their heart out, you can pray on their behalf to God as well. You can encourage them. You can say something good. You can provide a meal. Whatever it is, whatever you're holding, God has given you, and you can use it. Isn't that incredible? We can all use what we're holding. God has given us all different resources. We've all got different resources. Some of us have got more stuff. Some of us have got less stuff. But it doesn't matter, because God can use what you're holding. And it's incredible, isn't it? This is the God. Do you remember the story of the multitudes and the little boy with his packed lunch? And how God made that small lunch feed all those people? Do you remember that? It was only a lunch. But in God's hand, it's a lot. And that's the thing, isn't it? A small jar of olive oil, but it's a lot. Time is racing away. Never underestimate what you have. So go round, ask all your neighbours. This is Elijah's instructions, okay? Action points. So this is the action, okay? So leadership, you're always good to have a few action points. And I like that. I like going to a meeting, and then you have the meeting, everybody has their say for the next 5 hours. Then as you're about to leave, you know, everybody says, okay, what's the action point? What are we actually going to do? We've been speaking about 5 hours or whatever, we've been talking about all sorts of things. What are we actually going to do? So it's good to have action points. Elijah gives a few action points. Okay, very, very clear instructions. Okay, you ready? Okay, go round. Ask all your neighbours for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Don't be sort of, you know, too shy. And don't ask for just a few. Then go inside, shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side. From one jar. It's incredible, isn't it? So she goes out. She doesn't say, hang on a minute, what's the point? She doesn't say, oh, I don't know, is that really, is there any other plan B? Is there a plan C? Have you heard the story about the guy that was in the ocean, and he wanted God to rescue him, and God sent a lifeboat, all various things, and the man made no response because he wanted God to do it a certain way. And you see, the danger in life is that we want things done in certain ways and are prescriptive. Whereas God says, use what you've got. You know, I can use what you've got. I can answer your prayers in this way. This woman didn't say to Elijah, I don't think this is a good plan. She just did it. And if God is prompting you, if God is telling you to do something, what do you need to do? Just go and do it. Do you know, so many times, I've known that situation where God has laid somebody on my heart or something situation, or Ursula will say to me, I think we should do that. And sometimes we've delayed it a little bit, and then we've suddenly done it, and then we've realised in the next few weeks, why? You know, if God the Holy Spirit is prompting you to talk or to do something, go and do it. Go and do it, because God's blessing lies in that pathway. So, how many jars have you got? Okay, Elijah, go round. Don't ask for just the food, then go inside. She left him, shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her. She kept pouring. I love that. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, bring me another one. He replied, there is not a jar left. Then the oil stopped flowing. Can you imagine that? Imagine it. You're just on that wall. You're going around. Everything's a miracle. Everything's a miracle. You just keep pouring. You just keep pouring. Your faith keeps growing. Elisha was right. God was right. And it just, it's amazing, isn't it? And God is meeting her in that situation. It's a desperate situation. She's lost her husband. She's in danger of losing her children. But Elijah is now telling her, and God is meeting her right in the point of her need and answering her prayer. I love that. She went and told the man of God, and he said, next point, okay, go sell the oil, pay your debts. Now you have the solution. Pay your debts, and then you can carry on living on what's left. That's the solution. So she went and brought her situation to God. When was the last time you prayed? Whatever your situation is at the moment, when was the last time you brought the situation to God? Do you know, sometimes things happen so fast, don't they? So fast, and at work or at home, all of a sudden you get a phone call and the day goes in that kind of direction. And suddenly, sometimes I've realised, I've stopped and I thought, I haven't even prayed about it. I haven't spoken to God about what's going on here. I need God to help me, to give me wisdom in whatever is going on and bring God into the situation. Do you leave God outside of your situation sometimes? It's humbling, isn't it? Things happen so fast, but God wants to know. Elisha didn't push the widow away and say, listen, I've got five people in front of you. I've got a whole war going on over here. I've got situations that are much more important than you. He didn't say any of that, because this widow was important. Her life was important. Her sons were important. What God did next was important. Because this miracle, the way that Elisha would have dealt with this widow, word would have got out. It would have gone around. People would have heard the story. Did you hear what happened? Did you hear what happened when Elisha and this woman cried out and told her plight? Do you remember what happened when people met Jesus? When people's lives were touched? People were healed. Jesus walked around, didn't he? Lives were touched. Lives were changed. Dramatically, people were healed. Can you imagine the ripples going out? Jesus, he met me, he touched me, and my life was changed. I'm different. I'm healed. They've got a testimony, a story to tell, things to say. You've got a story to tell. Your life with God. You have a story, you have a testimony to tell. Stories are powerful. Stories are real because that's your testimony. It's how God has been working in your life. And they're powerful when we talk to other people and we tell them, I'm a Christian. Why? Because I've experienced his hand in my life, in this situation, in that situation. God has met me there. Can I ask you and honest question. What do you need God's help for today and in 2024? What do you need? What are you looking for? What are you holding that God can use? Have you got a talent that maybe you used to do, you used to pay attention to it, but you've just let it go and you're not doing it anymore, but God wants to resurrect that talent, that gift that He's given to you, planted in you, and He wants you to use it for His glory. What's in your house? What's in your car? What resources has God entrusted to you? How many jars of olive oil have you got at home? What has God uniquely entrusted to you, to me? Wow, what a thought. Each one of us has been entrusted with something. Each one of us has resources and gifts that we can lay hold of. How does God want us to use that for Him in 24? Ask yourselves. Speak to them. Ask God. Be brave. Pray about it. God, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to help? What can I do for you in 2024? The world's a mess. The people around me are struggling. You see, what does God want? Mark 1 verse 14. God is calling all people to repent. We live in a world that needs to repent, don't we? We need to be sorry for the sins and the things that we're doing wrong. And God is calling us all to repent and to be sorry and to come to Him. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Have you ever done that? Can I challenge you this morning? Have you ever done that? Have you ever given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ? He gave everything for you. When the Lord Jesus Christ went on that cross, when He shed His precious blood, He did it for you. It's personal. He did it for you. He paid the price for your sin. And He wants to be in a relationship with you in 2024. Do you want that as well? If God the Holy Spirit is speaking to you this morning, then please don't hesitate. Come and have a chat. Speak to someone, but don't let the moment pass. If you need to ask the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart and your life, you know that you need to repent and be sorry for the things that you've done wrong. The Bible says we've all sinned. We're all in the same boat. None of us have done enough good or righteous, lived righteously that we can get to heaven. We need to come through the Lord Jesus Christ. He's done everything for us. He loves you this morning. He's entrusted into your care resources and stuff that only you can use. Only you. You're the one. Just you. So in closing, I just really pray that 2024 is going to be a great year for you personally. But I pray more than that, that you will know what it is to walk in step with God's. That you will know the joy and the delight of being in His purpose. It may not be easy steps. It may be hard times. But I hope you know the joy of His presence and His help with you every step of the way. And if what Samaya said seemed a bit harsh, we can soften it down a little bit, can't we, sweetheart? And we can just make sure that we're trusting in the One who loves us. Remember that picture when the children were coming to the Lord Jesus Christ and the disciples tried to push them away? But the Lord Jesus said, let them come. And I love that. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying to us. Come to me. Come to me if you're burdened or heavy laden. Come to me. Come to me.